views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and today we're going to talk about joy, how joy is the key to finding purpose, satisfaction, and happiness in your life. And my guest is Lena Renee. She's the author of Choices for Joy. Tapping into what brought her joy was the key to discover her true path and purpose. Lena now weaves this joy with her gifts of healing, teaching, and storytelling. Lena invites us to look at how we can make choices that lead us to personal and community joy and satisfaction. She teaches us to look for the seeds and to plant them in fertile soil. You can find out more about Lena Renee at whispersofsoul.us and her other website, choicesforjoy.com. So today, Lena invites us into a new relationship with joy to renew our lives, free our voices, and lift our spirit. So welcome, Lena.
Thank you, Chris. It's always lovely spending time with you.
Yes, I know. I'm so glad we ran into each other recently and I could get you on the show and finding out about your new book. So first, I always like to start off with people's stories. So how did you come to find that helping others find their joy was your path?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I have worked with clients and students for about 20 years, and I often work with folks who are at the crossroads, who are either not knowing what's next or they're here, they want to get there, they have no idea how to do it. And one of the questions that I tend to ask them is, what brings you joy? What makes you happy? And I've found over the years how often people are just sort of stumped by that question. And it's not that they don't have joy, it's they never think about it. And over the years, as I've helped people go to that place to think about joy, to consider what it is that brings them joy, that's has become the seed from which they have found their path and purpose. And sometimes we're going back to childhood, to, you know, those stories that you asked your parents or your grandparents to read or tell over and over and over again, because within us we have this innate, it's like this magnet about our purpose and joy, and we might not have the context for what it is at a young age, but we can feel it. And joy is one of those things that can help us follow the path to our joy and our purpose. And it has worked for me in my life, and it is, I just have seen the transformation so quickly with people that I just had to send out the message about joy and help us to learn to trust it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get into that later too, but I want to hear perhaps something about your own experience with joy, your personal story about joy, finding joy for yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've always considered myself a relatively joyful person, and I use the key and kind of underline the word relatively. I've always found joy. And when I started writing the book started calling me to more joy. And as I really looked at my history, I realized how many times I had inhibited my joy because it wasn't accepted. It wasn't accepted in my family often. It certainly wasn't accepted in the corporate world or in the academic world. And I was often actually bypassed for promotions or projects because I was a joyful person, and it was often associated with not being very credible. And so in writing the book and calling people to joy, I started going, wow, wait, I've inhibited my joy. And what I had to learn looking back at my history was, how do we express joy appropriately so that others can understand it and not overlook us? Because, again, joy is sort of distrusted in our culture.
Well, that's interesting, because you think joy, you know, it's one of our emotions, and people like to experience joy like being happy in their lives and, you know, smiling and having that. You know, we like to be around people who are happy and joyful, and yet here you were in a corporate situation where that was, you know, it's almost like, well, we can't believe you're really joyful.
Yes, or I think that, you know, and I think in those days I was also younger, so young woman in the corporate world, and being joyful. And it was interesting because this one particular instance, there was a promotion in the making, and I was called into the office, and they basically said, your stats are really good, but we're going to promote this other person because they seem more serious. I was like, wow. And they never quite got that. My joy often is from connecting with people, which made me really good in the sales, and that made me very successful. But somehow in the corporate world, they just couldn't quite trust it.
Yeah, well, you got to be serious, you know. You just have to be serious.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then that's in the past, but now, so how does it empower you today?
Yeah. Today, it is, joy is it's a feeling, right? And it's this moving thing. And I find for myself that when I start feeling stale, it's because I'm trying to hold on to a specific kind of joy and make it look a particular way. And when I let that go and just let it flow, then I can move into the places that are really calling me. And it is a sensation in the body once we really start plugging into it. And when I have choices to make, should I do this project or this project? Should I write about this? Should I move into relationship here? What I've learned to do is key into my body. And if I have that feeling of joy, and sometimes it's very quiet. It's like this, you know, embers of the glowing fire sort of joy. And sometimes it's like, ooh, dance and do a joy celebration feeling. It can really vary, but I've learned to trust it. And when I follow it, I'm never wrong.
Never wrong, yeah. So, you know, and here you've written a book about joy. And yet, well, you know, we talk about this corporate world being so serious, but there's a lot of serious things, important issues happening in the world. And we're dealing with the environment, we're dealing with the financial situation and wars and everything. So much going on. Why is a book about joy important and the relevancy for today?
When I started writing the book, I decided to do a little research because I had this innate knowing, this intuition about joy, and working with clients, I had this experience. But I wondered, has there been research done? And I have discovered a lot of research has been done on positive emotions and joy. And one of the authors, her name is Dr. Candace Pert. She wrote this book called Emotions of Joy. And she talks about the positive emotions and how they arise in response to like the diffuse opportunities rather than narrowly focused threats. And they momentarily broaden people's attention and thinking. They enable them to draw on these higher level of connections and a wider than usual range of ideas. And then these broadened outlooks help people discover and build consequential personal resources. And those can be cognitive, like the ability to mindfully attend in the present moment. They can be psychological, like the ability to maintain a sense of mastery over their environmental challenges. It can be social, you know, that ability to give and receive emotional support. Or physical, like the ability to ward off the common cold. And in her research, what she's found is that people with these resources are more likely to effectively meet life's challenges and take advantage of the opportunity. So people with these resources are most likely to create or co-create ways to heal our world. Also, I personally believe that most of the situations that are arising today, these challenges that we have, they really came out of a fear-based culture. And we cannot solve those problems from that same place, that we need to move into different places. And that, you know, joy also, it really does call us to our path and our purpose and what's unique for us. And if more of us are doing our unique path and purpose and meeting what we came to do, it will really change the world.
Yeah, you really touched on something that how so much we are led by fear and don't realize it. And then if we tap mm-hmm. into that feeling of, you know, what's driving this fear and how we can approach that, because we're not going to solve the problems by fear. You're right. You know, and to approach it from a creative place, which would include being joyful, you know, because nothing gives me greater joy than being creative and creating with other people, you know, and that's how, you know, we can't do this alone and solve these problems around the world. We have to do it with others, and let's do it with more fun and joy. Well, this is Chris Danish. You're listening to Voices of Woman. We'll come back after this short break and talk more with Lena Renee.
Chris Stamos is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Are you interested in schools that inspire, excite, and encourage our kids to step beyond what they thought was possible? The Access Possibility School is enrolling now. Students in grades K through 8 are welcome to our virtual classroom. Classes start September 8th. For more information about the Access approach, teachers, enrollment, and what makes us different, visit accesspossibilitieschool.com. That's accesspossibilitieschool.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Back on Voices of Women, and I'm talking with Lena Renee, author of her new book, Choices for Joy. So, yeah, you know, you think of joy being, what's important about joy, you know, and having a whole hour show talking about joy. But, you know, we want to live a joyful life. I think everybody has that desire, and yet we, you know, it's almost like we don't deserve that. But, like you talked about holding back from it. Let's talk about how to build our capacity for joy. And is it a personal capacity or what's involved in the collective capacity? Because there's cultural things around it too.
There are. Yes. I think it's both. So personally, it's about getting into the habit of noticing joy, because joy is all around us. It is, again, small ways, big ways. It can be in the quiet touch of a loved one's hand. It can be in a beautiful tree. It can be in, you know, the cherry blossoms that are in bloom as you drive down the street. We get really focused on our lives and we forget to notice. And so one of the things I like to talk about is seeding joy, which is this place of letting yourself notice the little joys. Don't need to do anything with them, just notice them. And as we begin to notice those little joys, we begin to notice bigger joys, or we notice the little joys more often. And with this, we build our capacity for joy. Dr. Brené Brown has done a lot of research on vulnerability and joy. And one of the things that she talks about is, you know, we have this vulnerability in our culture is one of the most the most threatening emotions that we can have. And she really breaks it down, and I love this. She says vulnerability is not about winning and it's not about losing. It's about having the courage to show up and be seen. And when we can do that, we begin to share our stories. You've seen it in circles, Chris. It's like the beauty of what happens when one person has this courage to share what's really going on with them, and how that ripples through the circle, how it opens us, and how from that one little piece of somebody's stepping out and showing who they are, it opens the rest of the group. The same thing happens with joy. And I believe when we start sharing our stories, we stop isolating ourselves. We stop thinking that we are the only ones who are whatever. And we can relax and we can open to those moments of joy. The other technique in terms of building our capacity is learning to notice when we're foreboding our joy, which is a term Dr. Brené coined, Dr. Brené Brown. And, you know, she talks about this, like when things are really going good, how often we go, okay, what's something bad's going to happen because everything's going good. And that is connected again to that sense of vulnerability. And so in those moments when we can move into the present, when we can move into gratitude and go, yes, my children are doing well and they're so beautiful and I'm so lucky to have them and I love my job. How lucky am I? I'm in such gratitude. And when we can move into that, we kind of switch off that place of trying to look for the other shoe to fall, as my mother would say.
Yes, we're very good at doing that. But, you know, I've started a, because in a class I'm taking, we were to have gratitude partners, and we're to say I'm grateful for even the negative things. So, so everything that happened yesterday, the negative and the positive, and writing it down, you know, the first couple days I was like, whatever, is this working? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been a week, and there's less negativity because I'm releasing it by even being grateful for the things that happen, not as I want, or, you know, you've had a bad day, because there's always lessons in those times of, you know, things come up for a reason. And actually, I'm finding the next day is kind of like I'm more joyful. I'm less negative, or having less fewer negative thoughts. And so it's making a difference. And it's, you know, so sometimes we have to release those negative thoughts, you know, look at them, you know, look at them, you know, square in the eye and just go, okay, I want to change this. You know, where is it? Where's the lesson here? And how can I make this something good? And that even allows us to move into joy.
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And it really sets us up for getting in the practice of reframing things. There are many times I was in a car accident, and in the moment I was like, how could this have happened to me? And when I look back at it, it's one of the best things that happened to me because of the kind of body work that I got that totally opened me up in ways that were, you know, beyond the physical healing that I got. And yeah, we get in the habit of going, oh, I wonder where this is going to lead me. I wonder where the gift is in this.
Yes. So how about, let's talk about how the joy and bringing in joy can work towards, you know, as a, how it is as a role for guiding you towards, people's purpose in life? And maybe you can share your personal example of that, but how people might be able to use it as a guide.
Yeah. I like to talk about this with starting with this idea that we've all come here with a particular path, a particular purpose. And sometimes we get a lot of choices on how to fulfill that purpose, but we come in with this need to fulfill this purpose. And so I like folks to consider this. If you have a path and purpose that you've agreed to come into, and the universe or God or goddess or the great spirit, you know, is going to help you, it would never be set up that it would be something you hated, right? That would just be a really bad design. So our joy, the things that we love, those are going to be keys to what our path and purpose is. And that if we can key into those and we just begin to follow that, two things happen. One, well, we're happier. But it also, again, brings us into that kind of diffuse, broadened view of the world. And we're more likely to notice opportunities. We're more likely to have the courage to follow them. And it will lead us. And we have to remember that sometimes, you know, joy will lead us down a path that may not be our ultimate purpose, but it will lead us down the path that leads to the branch of the path that will lead us to our purpose. And so if we can hold it loosely and we trust and we just follow that, it's very powerful. When I was a child, I varied back and forth. I either wanted to be a doctor or I wanted to be a nun. And, you know, sometimes every other day I'd go back and forth and I just couldn't figure it out. But I knew I passionately wanted both of those. When I got older, you know, my late teens and it was time for college and such, you know, the nun wasn't quite as attractive to me at that time. So I went to the sciences. And over the years, I just kept following this sense of where I was led, following, it feels to me like this string of magnetic attraction, and I just kept following it. And it felt oftentimes that I was just led to this dead-end path, or I was led to places like the promotion I didn't get or the academic project that I wasn't chosen for, and it would feel awful in the moment. And then I would just key into that magnetic path, that joy, and I kept following it. And I talk more about this in the book in specifics, but I ended up becoming a spiritual healer. Now, at the age of 8 and 10, I had no context for that. In fact, I don't think our culture had much context for that. So I couldn't find it specifically, but I followed where I was led. I followed the joy, and I ended up kind of landing in it and going, oh my goodness, this is it. I am fabulously happy. I am so joyful. And I love not only the work itself, but the honor in serving others.
Yes, so true. And that brings me to talk about, because what I'm hearing you is finding your voice through the power of joy, and that you found your voice. So I'd love for you to speak about that.
Oh, yes. It's one of those moments, you know, when it's like, is it more painful to keep quiet and inside and in the contraction, or more painful to risk, you know, going for it? And what I've discovered over the years, there's been enough moments like that I've discovered, it's like when you're feeling that sense of wanting to expand, just go for it. That's where the joy is. And that's where you'll find your voice. And I do spirit song, which is a technique of toning and sounding, which is incredibly powerful. And one of the expressions we have in that is that sometimes the song, the sound, isn't pretty, but it's always beautiful. And that we have to allow ourselves to not be pretty sometimes, to just like risk that I might not do this well because I haven't ever done it before, so why would I expect to do it well? But it's calling me, and I just feel like I want to burst forth. Go for it, do it. And I guess sometimes that also happens in kind of quieter ways when we just feel like we want to say something.
Does that make sense? And so following those moments, finding the voice. And what I love about that, and I love witnessing it in clients and students and in circles, is when someone does that, and you can all feel it, we can all feel it, like someone just took a risk there. And it is so inspiring that it calls all the rest of us to take that risk, to spread that joy, to find our voice and to share it. And when we hear somebody doing it and we so connect with what they're saying, it helps us know that we're not alone and that maybe it's time for us to say something so that everybody else can have that same experience of being able to relax and open and hope and move into that place of joy.
Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is like taking that courage, that step to, you know, we hold ourselves back so much of just going, no one's interested in my story. It's not important. It's not funny. It's not, you know, we compare to everybody else's story. Mm-hmm. So, and then we don't allow that voice to, you know, and it's a matter of taking that courageous step and doing it. Well, this is Chris Stanis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll take a short break and come back and talk more with Lena Renee.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Lena Renee. Her new book is Choices for Joy. So, Lena, can you share your website, what perhaps people might find on your websites, and or if you have a blog, all that?
Yes, I have a couple of websites. Choicesforjoy.com is specifically about this book, and it will have author events and where I'm going to be next and that sort of thing. Also, we'll link you to, I have two blogs. One is really focusing on emotions. It's called Gilgaia Wisdom. That's G-I-L-G-A-I-A, wisdom.com. And it is generally a weekly blog, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. And it helps to connect with our emotions. Joy is a powerful emotion. When we open to one, we open to them all. So it walks us through that that process and inspires and gives hope and some real stories. And the other one is called Archetypal Play, and it is about the different expressions specifically of women. We often kind of get trapped in how we present ourselves. And so the Archetypal Play, which is a WordPress, brings stories and how can we embody the various archetypes, the mother, the crone, the wise one, the queen, the lover, and the richness of tapping into those resources within. Whispers of the Soul, you mentioned earlier, whispersofthesoul.us is a background information. I mean, it really talks about what I, the kind of work I do with individuals.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I encourage people to check out your blog and obviously your book and at choicesforjoy.com. So you did bring up about emotions, and I want to talk about that because you talk about that in your book about all emotions being tied together, and which can be very overwhelming for people. You know, sometimes it's hard to separate out like what's really going on. If, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. One of the information that I got in a channeled reading with the angels is they talk about joy, and they say, yes, that when we tap into joy, often it opens us up not only to joy, but to all the other emotions. And if we've been repressing our emotions, sometimes it feels like this flood. And I love this piece they say. They said, usually short-term, and they leave really fertile soil. So it's important to have some help, you know, either in really good friends or, you know, therapists or spiritual healers, that sort of thing, if that feels like it's really overwhelming. But what it does when we just dip our toe into joy and we just open it a little bit, it does open us. And it can be open, but it also opens this vast array of resources for us to understand some of the other emotions, because culturally, we have a lot of judgments about emotions, like can't be angry, can't be rageful. But anger, for example, when we are really angry, that is telling us that something's really important to us, because we don't get angry about things that aren't important. It can be an incredible ally for us to go, whoa, okay, what's going on here and what is important? And anger also calls us to an action. And when we can touch in and allow ourselves to feel that, often joy will come riding right along with it. And it's like, yes, I am angry about, you know, that child that's being abused in the supermarket. And it's because I really care about children and I love children. And the joy comes up. And then it can really help you move into an incredibly appropriate action to take around what take in terms of that anger. It helps focus it into appropriateness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, righteous rage has been used to, you know, to change the world. It's a, in a, you know, sometimes there's a place for when it's correct, because it can motivate you to make changes that you see need to be changed.
Absolutely. And I really want to say that when we take joy along with it, it really helps us to not get out of balance with it, because righteous rage can really lead us to do some things that are not probably really in alignment either. So when we allow ourselves to actually feel it, to listen to its wisdom, without trying to tamp it down, let ourselves be fierce sometimes, but fiercely joyful or joyfully fierce, however you want to look at that, so that we can really make some important, critical actions that can change the world, that will change the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get to... for you to offer, I imagine you have some tools and techniques to help people learn how to trust joy and to build one's capacity for joy. There's something about you have a forest bathing
yes.
process.
Yes. Forest bathing, my friend Melissa Lucia, you know Melissa, was the first one to mention it to me. I'm like, forest bathing? And she's like, yeah, you know, it's like sunbathing, but you're in the forest. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. So, you know, when you're sunbathing, you're not just laying there, right? You're opening yourself to the sun. And we can do that out in the forest. We can do that in our garden. We can do that, again, with the cherry blossom trees on the way to work. And it brings us this softness. It opens us and allows this beauty to come in. And beauty will activate and touch the joy. And we can make that incredibly more powerful and actually affect our environment a lot by focusing in on that. So not only going into the forest and opening to receive the forest, but also using that time to be in the beauty and to send the forest your love and your beauty and just being in joy of that. And then incredible things actually happen at a very subtle level. As we sit and just notice the beauty of a plant and we gift it that beauty, it begins to become more beautiful. And this energetic link happens between us and we begin to become more beautiful because we have opened to beauty. And in doing that, we open to the beauty in ourselves. And when that does, it radiates through the forest. It radiates through our lives. It is, in my book, I talk about it. It's like, you know, when you fall in love, right? You fall in love and like the person is just incredible and wonderful. And you're just radiating that to them, which calls it out forth from them, which calls it out from you. And then everybody around you is like, what, are you in love? You know, we can feel it. We can palpate it. We can experience it in that way. So doing that, like forest bathing, is it's really profoundly simple and profoundly beautiful. And it actually does balance your energy field. It begins to balance your chakras just automatically. And it's about being in the presence and allowing.
Mm-hmm. And being in you know, touching the earth. I mean, the earth is very healing and grounding for us. And, you know, it's getting out in nature and walking on the earth, getting out off of cement in itself.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And it, you know, brings us back to ourselves. One of the stories I share in my book, and I was driving down the street, I think it was on my way home from work, and I saw this these two little boys, and they're just kind of running out of this dentist's office. And it's that kind of like, oh, free at last, that you usually see like when the last school bell rings, you know, that joy that just kind of bubbles and ripples out from them. And then behind them was a man that I assume was their father, and he had the same thing. And then they kind of had this moment where they're looking at each other, and it's like, you're pretty sure there's going to be a trip to Baskin and Robbins or something like that, some treat. And they're just sharing this joy. And I'm driving down, and I see it, and then I look away. And then I went, wait, why did I look away? Why don't I share their joy? It will magnify it. It will send it out into the world. So we can be aware of those moments, too. It's like, let yourselves. I wasn't hurting them. I wasn't taking anything from them. In fact, I was magnifying their joy. So those moments we can notice as well. I talk about a couple other things. Sounding, just being in connecting with your body, letting whatever sound wants to come out, and then listening to that sound, and then letting it come out and listening to that sound. It is a spirit song technique. It's very simple, and it can unblock things for us. And again, it's always beautiful, and it takes us into this quiet place. And from there, we are much more likely to notice the joy.
Yes, it's that paying attention. And, you know, sometimes, like you said in the beginning, you talked about it, it can, there's fleeting moments of joy. And it's almost like, you know, you're allowing that flow. But sometimes it can be so fleeting that you kind of go, what was that?
Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to even let themselves be okay with that because you noticed it. And next time, maybe you'll notice it and actually take it in. So it's like little sips of joy will still increase our capacity. And every time we notice it, it does change us. I talk about also that sometimes we'll have a really joyful experience, particularly in a relationship, and we get so attached to the specifics of that experience that, like, you know, somebody bringing you flowers and they never do that. And you're like, oh my gosh. And then because you have such a response, they bring you flowers. And the next time they bring you flowers, you expect the same level, the same exact experience, which is usually not ever going to happen because you're not even the same person. You've been affected by that joyful experience. And so we can jump to conclusions about, wow, is the relationship going bad? You know, why don't I feel the same thing? So we have to learn to, like, trust the joy and allow it to change. When we try to grasp joy and we try to hold it in, you know, kind of a stasis, static way, that's when we lose it. We lose track of it because it cannot stay there. It is a moving thing.
Well, and if you look at your example, it was kind of like it was something unexpected and surprising, and it brought that joy. And so when it happens again, it's not, you know, it becomes a little more routine. And so part of us are looking for that newness in life, that and sometimes it is, you know, so how do we recreate, you know, new again, make things a little different, shake things up a little bit to add the joy.
Right. And again, it's a little bit of practice. It's a little bit of reframing. It's like, oh, wow, it wasn't just a one-time thing. He did it again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to take another break. This is Chris Danis on Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Renee, with Lena Renee.
Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune into the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community, Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. We're talking with Lena Renee today, author of Choices for Joy. So, you know, it's what we've been talking about. I think this whole experience of joy, to me, it really touches in on the divinity. You know, that sense of a divine self, and I would love for you, just because of our show being Voices of Women, and you know. You have been part of Woman of Wisdom, and which has been a journey around the sacred feminine. Let's talk about joy and the sacred feminine, and and joy relating to the divine self.
Okay, I'd love to. I think one of the reasons joy is such a timely and relevant topic and emotion for us is because it really does take us in the feminine. As we've talked today, you know, joy is fleeting. It can be really expansive. It is very feminine. It is, you know, where the masculine tends to be, you know, rather linear and containable and fast and kind of focused. Joy is much more feminine. And it is within all of us. It's not about being, you know, man or woman. It is within all of us. And there is such a sacredness to us, to it. And it really takes us to our sacred self, partly because it is so expansive. You know, it is, it can become like this cauldron where we can experience our lives in very new ways, where we have the space and the time to connect the little pieces, to allow ourselves to simply be present. And anytime we do that, we're going to be touching more acutely, more deeply, touching that sacred within. And when we do that for ourselves, we do it for the world. When we are carrying the sacred in a more open, expansive way, we emanate that, we radiate that, and it calls other people to do the same. It intrigues people. I talk in a little bit in my book about how even though joy has often been inhibited in me, joy is also what calls people to me. And then they don't trust it. And so they try to, you know, kind of clamp it down and make it appropriate or make it smaller so they can contain it or that sort of thing. But if we can stay in that joy, and I've learned to do that through the years, it's like, okay, I don't have to go singing down the halls, but I can be joyful. I can hold that joy. It can come from the sacred heart, that heart-to-heart connection that really speaks to me of the divine web, the divine connection in all of us, and not just people, but plants, allies, you know, the ocean. Loving the ocean will heal it, will balance it.
I was like, you know, the Japanese man who, you know, saying words or putting words on bottles of water, how it changes the molecular structure of water.
Dr. Emoto? Dr. Emoto, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and joy and love are two of the most powerful. I believe, if I recall correctly, the most powerful words or expressions he put on to transform were, I thank you, I respect you, I love you. And all of those are very, very close to joy. You move into joy by being in those places. So yes, I think it really does open us more deeply to the feminine. And here's, I also have come to believe that we need to play more. We, you know, we've moved into this new paradigm. We're in the age of Aquarius. And we need to stop being so serious and working really hard. We need to play. To touch in with that playful, sacred feminine. And again, she can be fierce and she can be quiet. But joy really helps us tap into all of those because we stop judging so much.
Yes, and that makes me think of, you know, that whole stopping judging also relates to stopping comparing, you know. If we tend to compare like and put ourselves down, if we see someone else that's joyful, you know, sometimes you come across somebody who's just it's just a bundle of joy. And and then you go compare like, oh, people don't look at me that way. Look at this you know, instead of acknowledging, if you can see it in that person, it's in yourself too. And you can join in that
Absolutely.
Joy. We don't have to, we're always in that judgment. It's always comparison too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also encourage people, I'm talking about joy and building our capability. Two things. One is let yourself take it at your pace. You know, sometimes we can go, oh, wow, they really are joyful. And from a distance, we're like, wow, that's interesting. That's okay. We don't have to come up and, you know, dance with them. We can take it at our own pace.
Yeah, because it is very individual, and our expressions of joy are individual.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. As I was writing the book, one of my intentions was really to invite people into joy, to give them permission. Be in joy. Taste it, sip it, you know, dip your toe in it, or, you know, jump in. And I think it's also important to remember, I can give you permission, but really the ultimate permission is up to you. And so really, you know, take that for yourself. Do it the way it works for you. And play.
Yeah, playing's good. It kind of brings up, when you were talking about that, I felt like it also brings up fear. And, we need to face our fears. And it's just sort of curious, like, why, what would be fear? What's the fear around joy, you know, and that may cause you to, you know, evaluate your life. Like, how were you brought up as a kid? Did you get in trouble if you were too happy, mm-hmm. too joyful, and you got slapped down? Like, you can't do that. You can't show your feelings around here. You know, all those messages we mm-hmm. get as kids. And so if we have fear around joy, it's good to take a look at, wait, what's the root of this?
Yes. And it's important to remember the job of fear. Fear's job is to slow us down, make us stop or pause, to notice where is the danger and is it real. Fear is not really meant to be carried with us. It's just like, stop, listen to me. Okay, now go ahead. And one of the things about fear, if we carry it with us, we actually, then fear starts activating around fear. Like, wait, you're in fear. You're in a lot of fear. You know, this depletes your immune system. This is, and so fear can build and build and build. You just need to stop and listen to it. It's like that two-year-old going, mommy, 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 mommy. It's like, yes, dear. And a lot of times I go, if we stop and we listen and then let joy move in to balance it, to walk mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah, like you said, and allowing the flow. And, you know, to allow yourself to follow it. Well, it was so great to have you on the show today, Renee.
Thank you.
Lena, Renee. Sorry. Sorry, you have two first names. Sorry about that.
No worries.
So again, I'm talking with Lena Renee, and her book is Choices for Joy, and you can check out her website on www.choicesforjoy.com. And I just want to remind people that to be sure to be checking up on the Women of Wisdom conference website and find out when things are getting launched. Our new website is www.thewowconference.org. And right now there's a call for vendors for our marketplace at the conference. It's February 11th. The conference is February 11th to the 15th. So applications are up. The deadline is October 15th. We also have on that same website is our fall festival. We have places for psychic healers, readers, shamanic healers, tarot readers, you know, you name it, artists. If you have arts and crafts that you make, be a great place to have them at our Fall Harvest Festival, which is October 14th. And that's also available on our website at thewowconference.org. All the information and application forms are there. And so it would be great to have you join us for those two fairs really great part of our conference to share the wonderful talent in our region. So also check out my book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's available on our website, womenofwisdom.org. And check out our monthly events that are happening. We have drum circles for women. We have dances. There'll be a dance October 9th for women. And all sorts of things that are always happening at Women of Wisdom. So next week, I'm doing a special show on Tuesday at 10 a.m. We'll be interviewing Barbara Han Clow. Okay, well, everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.